So we promise, we're not going to, we just decided we're not going to be as verbose this time.
Actually, it looks great.
Not you, you can be as verbose as you want. Just us.
No, I said us, yeah. let me just, I guess, introduce. This is a Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail project. This is a staff presentation today. And I'm sorry, let's see. Today, you're going to have to introduce yourself because I can't remember the name.
Anyway.
Great.
Briefly, we will be talking a little bit about what would be helpful for us to get from you today, and that Mark will be doing a more in-depth conversation about the conceptual design report itself, some of the issues that you may see and what we see as being the next steps.
Okay.
What we are lining up for, and the reason we're having this conversation today, is for a Planning Commission hearing April 13th. And it would be useful for the Planning Commission and for us to have your input and feedback on the conceptual design report and potentially have one of you, however you self-select, to attend the hearing and provide testimony on the conceptual design report.
Yeah, and I just said the Planning Commission specifically asked for feedback from the Design Commission on urban design, the urban design pieces of this project. So that was, and again, I think the last bullet there is ideally, if possible, it'd be great to have one of you guys have a design commissioner there to testify specifically about the design commission's issues. If not, of course, we can summarize the issues and take them to Planning Commission.
Right. Okay. So ultimately, we will be going to City Council in early May for a conversation about the conceptual design report, and your feedback, as always, will be useful for that conversation. So whatever we gather from you now, we'll use for Planning Commission, and then ultimately in a month. And where we are in the project, we just wrapped up 30% design. PE for the project ended yesterday. The conceptual design report that you've seen has been issued to the public, and TriMet's done just a significant and really terrific amount of outreach and public meetings to gain comments on the conceptual design report. We are basically now looking at, and the council will be looking at, whatever things we want to provide input and feedback on for the start of final design on this project. We're anticipating getting permission to enter into final design sometime in early October. So the information that we provide to TriMet now will help the project craft its activities during final design. There is a grant proposal out for some stationary planning work on the east side that we are very hopeful of getting, and we should find out about that in the May timeframe, and that will help kick forward some work on looking at some of the areas that where there is, we think, some opportunity to do more based on the light rail stations being in place.
And there may be some bigger issues that come up with that process. Again, I think some potential discussions about more flexibility in some of the zones, some of the areas along the light rail line, especially, again, OMSI into the south. There may be a lot of interest in increased flexibility. I think we'll be, and I'll get into a little bit, some new types of transit-oriented development opportunities, those kinds of things. It's a little challenging south of, on the east side, specifically on the east side of the river, but OMSI south. So there may be, and again, as part of the Portland plan and the comprehensive plan update, we may be able to talk about some zone changes again, or perhaps some at least increased flexibility for new development. This is just kind of the basic, the conceptual design report. Like Teresa said, the Design Commission has had this for a while. Again, it outlines the project goals and objectives, identifies a lot of opportunities and constraints and challenges, describes what the project is going to do, what it's proposing to do, what it's not, and some outstanding issues. And then again, it also is again targeting those key issues and next steps for the final design process that's upcoming. So again, real quick, and again, I think you've seen a lot of these slides before, similar slides. Again, this is the Portland-Milwaukee alignment, about a 7-mile extension, about 5 of those miles roughly in the city of Portland. We have a unique corridor here, and again, largely on the east side of the river, south of OMSI. We're kind of in between the Brooklyn neighborhood, the Brooklyn Yards industrial site, and again, then all of a sudden heading along the McLaughlin Corridor through a lot of green, sort of a pretty unique, actually, green kind of corridor down to Tacoma, and then on into Milwaukee. Again, the third bullet is just about, this is kind of a unique, again, alignment, maybe more similar to the west side alignments than, say, North Interstate or even some of the interstate freeway alignments that we have sort of in the city of Portland right now. And that ETOD concept is an employment TOD, so it was something that's not, I think the default setting is kind of a residential little 4 or 5-story buildings around a transit plaza or something like that. What we're interested in exploring through at least the stationary planning process is something that's maybe a little more industrial, or I should say employment-oriented types of transit-oriented development, something that's a little different. I mean, we haven't seen it quite yet in the city. And there's kind of that one segment, and there's that sort of bigger segment I talked about. The Clinton Station is kind of that hinge point right up here at the top here. So 10 stations in Portland, 8 with the project, 1 future, which is Herald, 1 pending, which is actually related to the project you just talked about at Jackson. So again, that one is sort of pending, it's no longer future, and 1 park and ride at Tacoma. The first segment is that Innovation Quadrant stations. That's Jackson, again, pending. You just looked at that. Lincoln, South Waterfront, OMSI. The second segment is that neighborhoods employments with Clinton, Rhine, and Holgate. And the third is neighborhoods recreation. Starts with Herald, which again is a future station, not a part of the project right now, Bybee and Tacoma. So the first, and again, I'm just going to kind of walk through these. I mean, you just saw, TriMet was just here not too long ago talking about the sort of west side alignment. So I'm going to try and just hit on these quickly and then kind of head across the river. Some issues for the city sort of with regard to this. The first station at Lincoln is again, the character of New Lincoln. We sort of have a unique in the South Auditorium, Halpern District, this area that we're sitting in right now, pretty unique in the central city, pretty green. It's got Lawrence Halpern, a lot of mid-century modern design aesthetic. How is the station going to fit into that? The project will have some serious impacts to Lincoln, the existing character today, and how can kind of that New Lincoln character be kind of crafted, and how does it fit in with the mid-century modern and the Halpern kind of pretty green landscape character down here. Again, we are also anticipating, although of course is never certain, probably within the next 12 or so calendar months, a National Historic District nomination for some portions of the South Auditorium District. And again, you saw this, I think, last time. This is a plan view of the Lincoln. Here's Lincoln Street right here. This is the platform here between 2nd and 3rd, kind of nicely situated between the two pedestrian corridors here. But I just wanted to flag that, again, an opportunity perhaps might be a more modern shelter design. This is sort of the shelter designs proposed. It's an effective and efficient sort of shelter, but we might be able to play with the shelter design here in this station area. Again, given that we have a very unique setting, this is sort of the before Lincoln, and then this is after, sort of visual simulation. Cool. We'll go back again. This is today, sort of at wintertime, actually with fewer leaves on the trees, and then kind of where it's going. So again, we have sort of fewer trees, apparently a lot smaller trees, and again, lots of light rail infrastructure here, and how can that kind of become a new, distinct place. The next is the Harbor Drive structure, and again, this has been talked a lot about. This has been an issue sort of that predates the CDR for a long time. Highly visible structure in and out of the central city. Perhaps an opportunity to reflect, not necessarily completely mimic or become a cable stayed structure at all, but some of the bridge design details, which again, a lot of time has been spent on, and perhaps also a unique art integration possibility, and maybe even with a nighttime emphasis as opposed to maybe a daytime type of thing. This is looking north on Harbor Drive at the central city as you approach. There's sort of the new structure again. This is I think you've heard a lot, Sean Batty from TriMet and others. This is a precast girder stretch here, and then when the radius tightens up, it has to go to a concrete box girder design there. So this is the concrete box girder section here on the left. This is the precast girder piece. Just a design idea, and again, I want to emphasize again, just for TriMet's sake, I'm circling sort of the edge condition here. This is a crash barrier. This has to be a sizable piece of concrete to resist sort of buses and things crashing through this and falling off the Harbor Drive structure. So it has to have a certain amount of weight and heft to it. The one on the bridge here, the one at River Bridge, is can be more delicate. It's just a pedestrian sort of, you know, holding pedestrians back, obviously. The only notion is to maybe bring some of the delicacy and elegance of that sort of edge of the bridge to kind of apply itself to sort of the Harbor Drive structure as an idea. Another idea is that the bridge. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the visual?
Yep. Yeah.
So this is today. And with the project.
So you said, did you just say buses would be on there?
Yeah, this is buses and trains, no pedestrians, no bikes,
so
no cars.
From OMSI, pedestrians, et cetera, go elsewhere.
Elsewhere, yeah. They get off in South Waterfront.
And buses.
Taking the route. Buses and the trains.
It would lighten it up a lot, wouldn't it, to lighten up that rail?
Again, also, there are planned to be a design workshop to look at this specifically. So again, additional feedback from the design commission on this would be helpful. So we are going to look a little more at this. So the last other thing is, again, the bridge tower section there in the bottom right for the Willamette River Bridge is, again, a faceted sort of home plate shaped tower in plan. It might be nice to consider faceting the, maybe hexagons, the round piers for sort of the Harbor Drive structure as well to kind of catch the light in a more dramatic kind of way. It's another way to kind of relate the two designs together. This is another view of the Harbor Drive. This is looking west on River Parkway. From River Place, you're looking up at sort of the South Auditorium District there, the big trees, First Avenue, and there's the structure coming across. You can see there's sort of this is a mosaic kind of tile or an art wrapped one of those round columns here. And Jeff will recognize some of these photos. Another idea, this is the, and I can never get this name right, Yoshibuka Haya Bridge in Japan. This is a very flat kind of pretty simple concrete structure. At night, it kind of lights up in sort of a pretty dramatic kind of way. So again, we're not necessarily saying this has to be a totally dramatic bridge thing, but we might think about an art opportunity that's more linear and follows the path of the curve of the structure in a more dramatic way. Also, there's going to be a lot of poles on this, and I think Sean and TriMet have already begun thinking about the poles and how they can be integrated in a more artful sort of way on the Harbor Drive curve structure. They have to be more in the tight radius of the curve. There are going to be central poles sort of on that precast girder piece, and there have to be more poles for the tighter radius of the turn. We can maybe think a little more sculpturally. This is obviously in France, the TGV system. And then on the Willamette River Bridge, you know, there have been a lot of ideas, I think, tossed around about a more contemporary sort of pole design that maybe could be brought over again to the Harbor Drive structure. And again, I'm not going to, this is South Waterfront to OMSI, the two bridges. I don't want to talk too much about this. You are going to see a formal review application for this, for the bridge and sort of the landings on either side. The big issue for the city, again, has been the connections to and from the Willamette River Greenway from the facility. I think you're already aware of lots of this. And again, the project has been working hard on both sides of the river, integrating the landings with adjacent master planning efforts. And again, like Teresa already mentioned, we've talked about stationary planning, that the CET grant proposal would start at OMSI and head down to Holgate, heading southeast from the east side of the river. And this is just a nice bridge before and after shot. This is looking southwest from OMSI across the submarine. And there's the new bridge. So you see Ross Island in the distance, Markham to the right. And then there's the nice new bridge kind of coming in there. These are the two. This is South Waterfront on the top. And again, I'm not going to dwell on these too long. South Waterfront on the top and OMSI on the bottom. So heading east of OMSI, southeast of OMSI, the first station that we hit is Clinton. We've had a lot of issues that, again, we're still working through here. One is the location of the platform. Sort of specifically, it's in between. It's about equidistant between Division and Powell, the two big corridors here. It's also pulled back from southeast 12th Avenue. The 11th, 12th couplet comes in and becomes Milwaukee right about at the station location. The platform is east of 12th Avenue. The location of the Ped Bike Bridge and sort of where that, you know, how we're going to get across the Union Pacific Main Line. We were looking at grade crossing for a long time. That's not possible, so where do we rebuild the Brooklyn 16th Bridge? The design and integration of the Ped Bike access ramps to that crossing bridge facility. There's now talk of going back to elevators. And Jeff, feel free to chime in if you want at any time.
There's no Ped crossing down low.
For a long time, we were looking at grade crossing the Union Pacific Railroad and the light rail facility at grade. That's no longer on the table, so we're up on a bridge again above the tracks. Teresa can chime in here.
The existing crossing that's there now is elevated?
Right.
Brooklyn 16th, yeah.
And so the original project proposal was simply to replace that in place. It needed to be replaced due to the light rail alignment coming through. So we were looking at positioning it. Then conceptually, we were talking about the ability to have an at-grade crossing, which is impossible, basically, with the freight rail and the light rail that's happening there. So there will be an at-grade once you're on 12th Avenue, if you want to go connect back through to Clinton.
That way, okay.
Yeah.
You'll see a close-up of this in a sec. And we were, and again, we were looking for the at-grade at 13th, 14th, which made a lot of sense. There's a signal division in orange, which ties you to Abernethy School, and there's also a PED signal on Powell, 14th. So it kind of made sense in that roughly alignment. Enhancing visibility, like I said, this is inboard of equidistant from both Division and Powell, so how to kind of increase visibility there. And there's, again, an art opportunity. And the Clinton Triangle bike connection sort of from the river, we're going to improve drastically access from the Southeast Clinton Bike Boulevard to kind of the Willamette River and that new bridge. And sort of there's some few little key pieces here in between here and there that we're trying to connect. And just for context, so Design Commission is aware this area is being considered as a possible expansion area of the Central City, which could also bring with it perhaps the Central East Side Urban Renewal Area expansion as well. So we are envisioning perhaps a transformation of what's there today, perhaps into a much larger and higher density form, set of forms. So this is sort of a close-up. This is a Southeast Division crossing here. This is the new light rail tracks. What's not shown right here, the Union Pacific Railroad tracks right here. This is what Teresa was just referring to, 12th, 11th, and Milwaukee right here. So Powell is sort of off the page, kind of over here somewhere. Division comes down. This is 11th in terms of traffic flow. The platform is about 100 and 150 feet back from Southeast 12th, sort of up here in the corner. And so one thing we're, this is going to be a large swath of open space. There's this dashed line here represents the potential PED bike connection. Again, that's trying to connect in a pretty clear and consistent direct way Southeast Clinton Bike Boulevard here across through this area and down to OMSI and the bridge this way. So this is going to be, this is a big consolidated crossing of all the train tracks here at Division. And I think you've looked at this and heard about this before. There's multiple crossings of the tracks in the Division vicinity. Division 9th and 8th all have crossings. This consolidates them all into one large crossing here at Division, sort of perpendicular to the tracks. And then this intersection is going to get reworked as well, but 11th and 12th. This is 12th up here and 11th. So one thing we're thinking about is, again, how can we use art? How can we use other types of public realm improvements to connect kind of this end of Division here that I personally have an interest in. Division continues straight on here, about 8 blocks from the river. Division goes 15 miles or so in almost a straight line this way to and through Gresham. So we're kind of at this last juncture point in this end in the central city of Division Street. It goes on to OMSI and the river here. How can we kind of connect that piece? We're going to connect it physically here with buses, bikes, and trains and walkers to kind of, again, an art or some type of engaged platform and transit area here at the Clinton Station area. So kind of trying to think about this in a little bit larger sort of area. The crossings, again, Division will be at grade, 11th to 12th at grade. There's an existing, we'll get to Ryan in a sec, this is another overcrossing. This is a bridge. It's an incredibly rickety looking thing right now at Lafayette. But these three will, again, exist. One of the things that Teresa and I were just talking about is we were and currently looking at an at grade at 13th, 14th. That's still a possibility for a new overcrossing or a rebuilt sort of new crossing there at 16th. And there may be some spatial benefits to a 16th location between Rhine, the crossing here at Rhine, and 11th, 12th, which would be drastically improved, and another one at 13th, 14th, which may be perhaps too close to an improved crossing at 11th, 12th. But the stationary planning will look at that, and actually some of the final design work. Rhine, I'm not going to spend too much time on. We have a connection. It's sort of between Southeast Milwaukee and sort of a little bit of a storefront commercial kind of retail environment over here, the Aladdin Theater, et cetera, and sort of the Fred Meyer employment site, Powell Park, Cleveland High School. Pretty limited development opportunity. And then again, from here south on 17th, we have opportunity for a deconstruction and salvage plan for impacted buildings and structures all along 17th, all the way down to McLaughlin. This is a view looking back towards Powell on 17th from the Rhine Station. So again, you'll see the building on the right there will vanish. 17th gets widened considerably as a result of the project. Holgate is next. So, and again, this is sort of closest to Southeast Milwaukee. There is some mixed-use zoning potential at Milwaukee and Holgate more than at 17th. Again, there will be a couple TOD sites at 17th and Holgate, most notably a TriMet-owned site there. And something the city is looking at is, again, we're going to need to think seriously about improving the streetscape environment on Holgate, and I'll show you a little graphic to go with that in a sec. And there are the 17th remainder parcels, again, because of the widening of 17th, TriMet's own parking facilities are going to be impacted. Actually, well, here, I'll talk about this. I have a slide on that, the remainder parcels. So there's the station, 17th and Holgate. This is the industrially zone, Brooklyn Yards kind of area here to the right, the light gray, all this IG1. And then here's the Milwaukee corridor here, sort of the intersection of Holgate and Milwaukee at this point. This is McLaughlin and Holgate right there. So again, where we're trying to go is a streetscape. You know, eventually we'd like to get to a streetscape project here that connects the station area at least. This isn't that far away. This is about 800 feet or so, 1,000 feet. Climbs up here. This is where, again, you could have the biggest kind of TOD pop, but we need to kind of connect people. Sidewalks are pretty hostile here. Four lanes of traffic, a lot of industrial truck traffic between McLaughlin, Brooklyn Yards area. This is sort of this is that section through 17th here, and this is the kind of remainder, this roughly 40 foot or so, 43 and a half feet swath here. Again, there's some back and forth between increased public use of this area as well as parking for TriMet. There's a lot of employee parking in this area right now. And again, the neighborhood has a lot of concerns with sort of spill, you know, TriMet employees parking in the neighborhood in the residential area, which again is just due west here in this area. So beyond parking, are there other things that we could do in this relatively narrow swath? Public art? Is there additional landscaping and art? Perhaps reuse of some of the impacted building structures, materials from the buildings. There's probably some ideas we could think of there. Herald, again, is a future station. It's not a part of the project. It would need a few things to really kind of get it going and get people thinking about it seriously. One is one of the primary issues would be industrial properties, kind of beginning to think about their redevelopment on this side, the east side, and Reed College is kind of right in here. They have not to date kind of engaged in a meaningful way to talk about redevelopment or their growth plans. So yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because of its adjacency to Reed, is that the closest potential station to Reed, or is the?
Yeah, this one's closer. Bybee is also can serve Reed. This one is a little closer.
Yeah. Bybee, so, you have to go down kind of around the golf course and around.
And yeah, kind of wind your way up Woodstock a little bit.
Is it solely because the property owners aren't ready to develop, or? I mean, is there no ridership there? That location would? Because, I mean, all of them have potential to develop, but some may say, yeah, I'm very interested and not do it, and others may say, well, not interested, and then the station gets there and they go, wow, so, you know.
Well, and is this the potentially elevated station so that
it's going to be elevated? That's
right.
Because so that access out of the industrial area.
And you'll see a slide on that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think really there's not the ridership.
Ridership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can serve a lot of folks at the Holgate station, and so it really would rely on something big happening on the east side to make that kick in.
Given some of the relationships between Reed and OHSU right now, we would think, OHSU OMSI even, mainly OHSU, we would think that they would want to engage the project a little bit more and think about, become a little bit more of a partner, talk about their expansion and connections to this transit facility, which again will directly connect them to the OHSU area. So the main issue for us right now is the top bullet, which again is the elevation, you know, where is this potential future station area going to be located, both horizontally and vertically, because again we're going to have to cross the Union Pacific tracks probably above grade to get to the station area as well as McLaughlin. So we need to make sure this kind of it's in the right place. And Jeff, here's a view. So you're looking into the Brooklyn Yards here, and you see that red truck. So we're going to have an elevated way, direct way in and out for the Union Pacific and their intermodal facilities at the Brooklyn Yards. So again. So here's Bybee. Couple of important just things for you guys to be aware of. The Bybee Bridge was here at Design Commission for advice in about 2003. Got rebuilt. It's a new, relatively new bridge structure. Nicely done, sort of in a neo-traditional kind of style with some stonework and a whole bunch of other pieces. There's interest from the community and people who have participated in that process in the integration of this station with that bridge design work. And so that will become that will definitely be an issue in the future. This station is isolated. So, yeah, it's
like
low. It's below.
Station.
Correct. It's down in the valley there. It's in between McLaughlin and the Union Pacific railroad. So, and again, it's below the grade of the Bybee Bridge. So it's sort of isolated. There's very little, if any, transit-oriented development potential anywhere near the station. So again, it's really reliant upon the transfer functions from the bus and really bike riders to kind of activate the station. There's an opportunity, again, with art design, perhaps of the elevator towers or other features on the station to kind of illuminate it, especially at night, and make it feel a little more secure and sort of be a little more responsive to some SEPTED design principles. The location of long-term bike parking is still sort of a bit of a concern. And again, like I mentioned, this is a portal to a lot of open space, recreational green amenities, Eastmoreland Golf Course, Westmoreland Park, the Rhododendron Gardens.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, I think that this whole stretch is kind of interesting because I believe those are elm trees that are along that corridor. And they kind of stop right at Bybee, I believe. They're south of Bybee, right, for the most part?
They do. I think they may get closer. I think they're right around Bybee. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
I mean, I think that the stretch is kind of interesting because you do have the open space all the way around it, and you have what seems like a fairly open kind of train corridor right in that area as well.
Right.
And I mean, going back again when we reviewed Bybee, when we reviewed the bridge and that whole kind of, you know, integrating the stone, we talked a lot about that in the hand railings and the cast concrete.
Right.
It seems like there's a stretch here that could really maybe go from the previous station, maybe all the way up to this thing, and maybe kind of group that whole area in.
So this, like, from Harold right about here down to...
Yeah, from Harold. I mean, I know that's in the future, but... Right. But, I mean, if there could be kind of maybe a period here, like, extend elm trees, mm-hmm. you know, and that whole kind of boulevard corridor, and you got the parks, mm-hmm. and even there's that large housing. I don't know who owns that.
Yeah, to the west.
But there's kind of a lot of land around that, too, and there's water. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah. There's Crystal Springs area, Creek.
Crystal Springs and the Rhododendron Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's some open spaces for where you turn off that creates these kind of islands of land.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of ODOT.
It actually gets really nice there for a moment, and mm-hmm. then you're right back into...
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
This is an old sort of model view. This doesn't reflect the current design. I just wanted to call attention to, again, there's going to be a lot of structures and extensions and waiting areas, et cetera. And you see the two elevator towers there. Those are definitely an opportunity to kind of increase the visibility, especially at night, and kind of a little more security and sense of place kind of out here. You can, David, see the relationship. Here's the platform here. Again, it heads north, but it's well below the elevation of the Bybee Bridge.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because we all understand that the I-84 stations were done in an earlier era.
Right.
Or really understanding the all the ramifications of having stations kind of recessed in that environment. It's just such a unpleasant environment. Not only not necessarily safe, and that is one consideration, but then it's exactly like 84 because the train track is right next to it and you've got a busy mm-hmm. road, I mean, a highway,
right.
basically, state
right.
highway.
Yeah, at least get a little more greenery over in that area. And I think you can punch that off.
Yeah, well.
But I was going to say the one thing, I mean, the SkyTrain in Vancouver does a pretty good job. You know, they're always kind of going up and down.
Right.
And it does seem like there are some precedents maybe from that.
So there's
that could
no
be
ability
to.
To come up and...
No, the extensive cost. I would say that the project in TriMet has done a good job of, I think, trying to alleviate some of the I-84 issues with the stations being down. They've created, again, these sort of extensions of the bridge waiting areas, again, where you can kind of wait, get your ticket, do that kind of thing, and wait up at the bridge elevation before going down to the platform again, if you so choose to do that, and again, if you're uncomfortable going down there.
Right.
So, I mean, that there's definitely a recognition of that, of the, sort of some of the challenges in the I-84 line. So, again, is that enough as part of that?
Yeah, I am not sure of this. I'd have to look at it. One of the issues with Bybee, maybe we have to be under by the time we get down to Tacoma, and so you've got... There are some quests. You've got to get under Tacoma Overcrossing, and I don't know what the runout distance on that is. It would be extremely tricky to try to have a at-grade crossing of Bybee because where those elevator stair areas are just right east of the crest of the bridge structure itself, and I just... From a safety standpoint, superbly challenging, right? It's also a major fire response route. There's a fire station just on the west side of the structure, and certainly having something that stops and interacts with vehicular traffic really significantly would affect the travel time for the train, which All of these projects are calculated based on the amount of money it takes to transport people and how quickly that can happen. So not only would it be kind of the expense of staying high on structure to get up to Bybee, but you have a reduction of the actual efficiency of the train itself.
Sure. And I understand that. I guess the other part is if you don't have an environment that people feel good in, the ridership won't be there necessarily in the numbers that you're expecting. So there's those two things to balance out. And,
right.
You know, I'm not telling you the engineering aspects of it, just the kind of visceral reaction that people have.
Right.
I mean, we've all been on those 84 stations. We all recognize the issues with them. So
I was just sharing with you the engineering parts of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important given that, again, there's no TOD potential here. So, you know, we have to make it work for kind of transferring the people coming, you know, walking or taking the bus or riding their bike to the station.
I will say there is, among Eastmoreland and Westmoreland residents, there is a ton of enthusiasm for this particular station.
Sure.
Really, actually, a lot. And they, as you are concerned with the environment around that, will be definitely interested in getting your feedback and input on what the facilities here look like.
And there may be some ways to mitigate the noise aspects, a little more sheltering down there, and some maybe glazing that's in more of a panelized system that can be between them and the train, or some design elements that can come in the next phase.
This is again just to get to the at the bridge level, the Bybee bridge level. There are those two towers that we were just looking at. This is where some bike parking, long-term bike parking, was located. And right now, this is proposed to be in kind of a chain link, kind of locked, card access sort of cage kind of thing. But again, to protect the bikes long-term, so you could lock your bike up in the morning, take the train into work, come back, pick your bike up at night, and you know, ride away or ride home.
We didn't use up all the chain link on the Green Line.
No, there's still more.
There's always chain link.
So this is dashed in because this is, I believe, no longer here. This is sitting on top of a SIGCOM, kind of one of their little SIGCOM structures, which is, I think, proposed to be moved, relocated. This is sort of a bus pullout, which, again, is shown on the south side. I believe there's also one proposed for the north side that didn't make the drawings. But, again, they had to accommodate widening of the Bybee Bridge to kind of allow for the buses to pull out and stop and also allow the emergency vehicles to go through. That had to be accommodated. The issue, the biggest collection of long-term bike parking facilities is down below the bridge, which, again, in terms of the visibility and especially at night, it provides a lot of easy shelter. We still have some concerns, again, about visibility of these. If you're in picking your bike up, locking it, or on the way home at night, is this the best, most visible place to put that? So there's kind of just a little bit of a concern there. It's clearly, from a shelter point of view, you have the bridge overhead. You're going to be protected from the elements. Just an ongoing kind of piece of concern. Tacoma, and again, I think the Design Commission's voiced a lot of concerns about this already. We have concerns, architectural design, the park and ride garage. Getting to this station platform area is difficult, if not by car right now, or challenging, I should say. Tacoma, the street is identified in the streetcar system plan as a potential corridor. There's been a lot of interest in improving the functionality of the building structure, and that could mean improving it for electric vehicles, charging stations, car share, perhaps solar panels on top of it, all kinds of different things. Again, the architecture, some elements of the building's architecture could provide for a nighttime, again, opportunity for some art presence. There's a big art installation sort of being considered for this station area. The architecture itself perhaps could participate in that a little bit. And again, we have some environmental issues with Johnson Creek kind of running through the station area. This is the site plan. So this is McLaughlin down here. Johnson Creek kind of snakes its way through here. This is the platform. Park and ride structure is here. This is the Union Pacific Main Line. And the Tacoma Overpass kind of crosses here. And this is the new kind of access road that will go in. And this partially exists today. This will come around. You can get off of McLaughlin, enter and exit the parking garage here. So one of our issues, again, has been access. One of the CDR issues is discouraging illegal pedestrian crossings across McLaughlin. To the west of the park and ride structures is where we have mixed-use zoning potential. To the east is where we have really just single-family R5 zoning and then some industrially zoned properties in these larger parcels right here. Those red arrows are about 600-700 feet or so in length. So if you start from the circle, as the crow flies, you could kind of get there in 600 to 700 feet. If you go via sort of the Tacoma overpass, it's, you know, you're getting close to 0.4 miles, half a mile almost to get, and you can walk out of there and around over the Tacoma overpass and down to the platform. If you choose to use the Springwater Corridor, which again, the park and ride, the platform will build, the project will build a good access path down from the Springwater Corridor here, the trail down to the platform area. You can't get to it though until you, unless you use 19th way down here. So you kind of, from this point, which has some EG, R1, R2 kind of zoning, you'd have to kind of make a trek to get onto the Springwater Corridor and then make it down.
So that's the pedestrian bridge?
Yeah, this is the three bridges. So this is the first of the Johnson Creek bridges here. The McLaughlin Bridge is the orange bow string. Right. And then there's a train, kind of a nice truss bridge design here. So, but the problem is accessing from this side where we have the more the TOD type of typical TOD zoning potential, you need to come all the way down to 19th to access the Springwater Corridor Trail. Now there is, I think, interest in pursuing stair access along McLaughlin to the Springwater Corridor, the trail, which would sort of definitely improve the sort of walk time for potential transit riders on this side of the this side of the station area. This side, again, the access is better. Your access to the Springwater Corridor is definitely better, and the walking distances are shorter. But again, the zoning potential is not here in terms of anything like a TOD or higher density, even medium density development.
Could you go back to the site plan for a second? And so north is to the left.
Correct. North is this way. So again, McLaughlin. And the trail is here. And the city boundary is, you know.
And again, remind us, Pendleton has that parcel.
Where the arrow was. Yep. Yes.
The arrow keeps disappearing.
And
right here.
And I know that that's outside of the city of Portland, but
yep.
What are the intentions there? Does Pendleton maintain some of their facilities there, or is that a redevelopment site?
They're intending now to retain that site. They would use, I think they would look at using. They have access on the north side of their property. TriMet did TOD analysis to see what the opportunities were near term for them, for the light rail park and ride itself, and there just wasn't anything that was going to pan out in the short term.
Is that because of access to that area, not into that site?
No, it didn't strike me as access. It was really that particular owner planning to stay there and do what they're doing for the short term.
And it's just like a outlet, right? A Pendleton outlet?
You know, I believe they have some offices in there as well.
Yeah. And some other employment in there. Okay. These are elevations from the drawings of the parking structure. And again, I think this is a starting point. I think there's interest in more advice and feedback on the architecture design here. Parking structures have come a long way in terms of their design. And again, this is the Emmanuel up in the upper right here. This is recently built. I think this was EGF was the architect on it. At night, again, we have an opportunity perhaps to think about the architectural treatment, any kind of screening and how that might, you know, become a participant sort of in the environment and become a little more than just a parking structure, a park and ride sitting in between the railroad and McLaughlin. Here's a simulation. This is
so
from,
this is really a gateway to Portland.
Well, it is. I mean, technically,
threshold.
It is. To the city, yeah. I mean, yeah, so you're going to, again, I don't know how many people actually perceive that, but yeah, you're crossing the city boundary right here.
Well, I don't think anything marks it at this point, but I'm just saying that there might be that potential. I mean, with this garage structure and what you could do with it. And conversely, you know, going the other direction, it becomes a Milwaukee.
Actually, probably the Springwater Corridor structure itself is one of those markers. We tend to not perceive it that way at all. It's an interesting point of view.
It has the orange, so the McLaughlin one is a pretty dramatic bow, kind of neat.
Yeah, no, it's memorable. That's all you have to do is say the Orange Bridge.
Yeah.
And
so parking structure clearly presents an opportunity, I think, in this day, 21st century, to do something more than the past parking structures have done. Here's a visual simulation of the, you can see it in the background there. So this is, again, from the Tacoma Overpass, we're looking southeast down McLaughlin. Let's see, so it's lurking back here. Here's the train heading in.
Is that train a little big?
platform.
It's the lighting.
It might be the lighting. So.
And I think there would probably be you know, it's issue, the word lurking.
The cars are, lurking.
Cars are squished.
Another word. So that's basically, did you ask anybody? So the, again, so what we'd like to do today ideally is kind of, you know, summarize any issues you, the Design Commission, has with the CDR. Like Teresa said, if possible, hopefully, it'd be great to be able to designate a Design Commissioner to attend and testify at the April 13th Planning Commission hearing on the Conceptual Design Report. And again, Design Commission will be seeing the Willamette River Bridge portions of and portions of both South Waterfront and OMSI stations will come in for a formal design review application, or a formal review, I should say. And thank you very much. And I'm happy to go back if you want to see any slides to help with this.
Well, Mark, and I think you've sat through a couple of the times that TriMet was actually here, and so I'm sure you've kind of taken some notes from that.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that there's some relevant stuff that we've talked about before that we don't necessarily have to rehash tonight right now, unless somebody feels a need for it. I think my biggest concerns right now, I mean, overall, I mean, I think this is great to get this other line, and actually it has some great opportunities and challenges that maybe we haven't experienced to the degree on some of the other lines that, you know, just with that interaction with Bybee, for example, and going through OMSI and kind of weaving in and out of the industrial zones. And So I'm hoping that that as a result of those opportunities that we really start to get some compelling things. And I think the notion that pushing for some character and maybe some of the stations and the station platforms, you know, respective to like the Halperin area, and then you get out to that Bybee corridor, out of the McLaughlin corridor, you know, and kind of that more natural, kind of that city beautiful, you know, park-like setting, I think could be kind of nice. All capped off by that opportunity for the park and ride at the end of being this kind of really unique, you know, everybody's whizzing by there at 55, 65 miles an hour. And so it's one of those things that it needs to be bold. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be a fun one. The bridge itself, and then, you know, one of my bigger concerns is how we come off of Lincoln, and then we've got that situation where we're kissing those wood townhouses, you know, on that one corner.
Oh, the at River Place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I want to highlight, you know, there was the idea that was brought up that there can be an art piece, and
We talked about that
a lot. I mean, I just think that maybe needs to be thought of more than just something like dressing up a column.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, in fact, I'd almost kind of avoid the column and let infrastructure be infrastructure. I mean, do the good little design moves, like some of the ideas that you showed here for the sake of just improving that design. And then maybe we do something else with landscape lighting and some other elements to kind of take people's eye off of the...
Yeah,
you know.
Here. Don't look right here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think the simulations really show how kind of heavy duty it is, and I hadn't really imagined
that next shot that shows the bridge and the just the real heavy, heavy nature of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's
I think the engineering needs to be economical, but is there a way to lighten it and streamline it and kind of reflect the nature of the car that's on top there. I mean, those things are designed, and they look fast, and look cool, and they look 21st century. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this concrete that's like, you know, mid early 20th century.
It is somewhat reflective of all of the other rampage that's going on around there with the Markham.
Right,
right.
It's the same as right.
You've just come under all the Markham ramps here at this point, so you're looking. Yeah.
And even if it's you know, just minimized, it doesn't have to be designed in any special way. Just minimize it, streamline it, take it to the least expression it can go to, and you know, then let all the other elements kind of compensate for that. But if we can make it kind of disappear, I know we can't, but you know, in concept, that it just kind of becomes this simple statement, and it's, you know, put it on a diet too.
And when you look at this, you know, one thing I don't think is doing this structure any favors are the columns, you know, into the hammerhead. There's lots of other compelling ways to kind of make that happen. And ideally, I mean, it's not, you know, just loading up expense, but I'd say that that one kind of is, if you could really keep this thing, this ribbon, you know, floating up above, you know, if you could make that appear that way, like it was floating in air, it might help.
You know, they have, in terms of the art, they are considering, I think, a light bridge lighting kind of thing as part of it. I'm not sure whether that's going to make it at the end of the day, but they're considering that. And again, this does offer an opportunity to perhaps have a linear art or a lit kind of thing at night that might have a curve and have, you know, be able to be a shadow reveal during the day and have some kind of dramatic, a little more dramatic and maybe levity giving present, you know, ability at night, something like that.
Well, and certainly, you know, David's working with Rack, but I mean, it does seem like when these things simply just become these little canvases to get these little kind of appliques of
that's
just like
pressure on art.
Yeah, exactly. I think
okay, we're gonna fix this with art. We're gonna fix that with art.
Yeah, it's like better.
I can only do, you know, so much.
Yeah, it should try to do something in its own right somewhere, and not necessarily, you know, be the bell, bells and whistles that get added on. I think.
Do you have thoughts on the Clinton division? Landscape.
I just had a question between the distance between Lincoln and OHSU. And I say that because at the end of the water, south end of the waterfront, before you get to Markham, the townhouses and the Strand and all those things, and it's the end of the kind of the that part of the open space leads right into that. In terms of not having a station there, it'd be very difficult. So the concept then is to pick up streetcar and then go down to.
Yeah, streetcar will come off.
So anybody that wants to get on the MAX line at that point would catch streetcar at that station.
Well, there's a station Harbor. There's a station in South Waterfront that will be anchored at Moody, and Porter is effectively where that alignment is, right where the arrow is. So if you are going to the new OUS building that will go in, or any of the future development that Seidel does.
That's right there.
That's, you can use that station. And for the time being, until the Greenway connections develop in on the north end, the North District part of South Waterfront, there really is no there.
Right.
There. Yeah.
Now, so in the interim, what are we going to get a debriefing on that?
So you will be seeing the west half of the bridge is something that comes to you formally. I mean, we will end up talking about all of the bridge, but you'll be getting that as part of the land use process for the structure. So I believe the application submittal is sometime in June. So we're expecting how that'll march out. You'll be seeing things later this summer. We can talk a little more about that.
This is what Teresa was talking about. South Waterfront Station is a streetcar. You see tracks pulling off and onto Moody, and here's the light rail, and the bus continue.
And although, I mean, I think that when Art was here last time, there was discussion that there hasn't been, particularly on the OMSI side, that nobody's laying claim to the connection back to the Springwater Trail. And I just think that you're going to put all this infrastructure in and then not connect those two dots. Even if it's, you know, we don't know what's really going to happen, but we need something temporary.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, even like an asphalt path. Mm-hmm. Even,
yeah.
Right.
Because people are going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, I think that that's something to really flag.
And I think that is pretty much unanimously shared within the city, and we are preparing comments like that. The west side is a slightly different situation because of the South Waterfront Greenway.
Trail doesn't exist right now, so.
But we also have different code requirements than the Greenway requirements on the east. But I think we all are aspiring to get some level of connectivity there.
And then I'm recalling one other last big thing over back up to the Lincoln corridor. That is where the Halpern plan crosses over Lincoln. And those kind of corridors and stuff like that, I think Jane brought up tree canopy before, and, you know, are there ways to kind of maybe emphasize taller trees, you know, where we have crossings and then and do special things? I mean, right now you've got the red strip. It looks like some type of special paving there. But
I think it was a pavement treatment that was proposed.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think, again, you know, the trees kind of stop and maybe, you know, on the two outside flanks or something, you know, it's just looking for how can you take that green canopy through potentially.
I think the graphics tend to make it look very stark.
Yeah.
Well, what's just, I mean, the trees in the foreground that still are there haven't been greened in. So just a little miss, you know, in the whole world of visual simulations.
You have some leaf here. This would be greener than it appears. This would also be greener than it appears. So this is
to the left or to the south.
So you're we're going to lose the trees also on the outside to the left.
You will lose some.
You lose almost all trees between first and fourth here. The ones you can see, these two here will stay. These guys.
Does anyone know what they are? Are they London plane trees?
I don't know what they are. I would bet Sean does.
Yeah.
Okay. They're London plane. So what is a little deceiving perhaps about this view is it looks like a brand new roadway going through, and the intent really, this is where the Red Lion driveway comes out on your left, and the other is the driveway slash pedestrian walkway for the extension of the Halperin. So it looks like a big giant roadway. I don't think it will look quite that stark once it's done.
Has anybody looked at? I mean, there's not really great connectivity on. I mean, this is the one little kind of two-block kind of connection to get up to 4th from 2nd. But, and I know to the north, there's really not any opportunity. To the south, I'm not as familiar. I mean, has anybody looked at, let's just take cars off the street, you know, keep car access maybe from other areas and then go further down and come up and around? Or?
You know, the scary thing about this area is it was already super blocked when the South Auditorium improvements went in, and the only between like, Market and I-405, all you have are Harrison and Lincoln, and that's it.
Well, yeah, and if you go further south, you're going to get in trouble with the ramp to the freeway.
Jeff, the apartment building, Lovejoy, that's that little elbow macaroni that goes up in there, that's their only entrance into their garage.
No, I mean, I know that you'd have to keep
auto access,
but I'm saying, could you create more of a pedestrian zone in this area and try to de-emphasize autos?
Maybe
but I realize that going south,
you
couldn't.
Do one way?
You know, once you start looking at how everybody has to get around, what it does or what it could do is eliminate all of the parking access for various office buildings and the towers, but it also pushes Harrison to do so much more heavy lifting than it was ever intended to do. And now that it has streetcar on it,
it's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
I think we really need to keep that balance between the two.
Yeah, and I was just trying to imagine that I don't, you know, this is kind of a no man's land to the bottom of the screen. Is there another little street that winds up there? And I realized it'd get cut off by the freeway off.
Yeah, it ends up kind of being a wedge like South Terminus is what's there now.
The 405 is right off the bottom here.
Yeah.
This is the big PSU parcel here to redevelop some way. This is American Plaza. There's a couple more towers here.
Which
I found redevelop. This is a strip mall redevelopment site throughout the window.
I don't know.
So just looking at that the diagram, the lanes and what they're doing, they're like starting off at 1, going to 2, and then going back to 1. And is there...
What you've got are the development of left turn lanes. So there's a left turn lane where the arrow was here. To provide that access here, and then there's a left turn lane there to provide access that way. So it bloats the section out a little bit.
Is that something that you could
eliminate?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so at all. What would end up happening is if you force, say, the Red Lion to not be able to take any traffic here, everybody has to be coming in on 4th. and down, and down, and in here, or off of kind of the funky piece of Lincoln as it diverges past Jackson. And it's just not, from a circulation standpoint, not something that actually any one of the people living on that street are supportive of. We end up having significant problems. What they actually wanted was U-turns everywhere on the street to help with the circulation, and we are looking at some locations where a U-turn would be allowed. But in order for it to be safe, it really takes having a left turn lane. One of the other things that increased the section is we put a bike lane on the north side of the street in the climbing direction because of the grade. That's going to be a pretty important connection for Portland State for coming up from NATO, and we don't have it on the south side. They'll share with autos. We don't need it.
So this station is only raised between those two crosswalks, then, and then it's a flush condition. I was reading where the turn lanes are that was also raised 6 inches, but that must be flush if cars are turning.
So it yeah. Right. It's more similar to perhaps what you would think of with like the Interstate Avenue condition where the tracks are separated by some sort of curbing element that then we'll have to drop at the station platform to allow that crossing. And I actually simply consider us fortunate to not have to have put a left turn lane pocket in here to get to that underground parking garage on the corner, which was another desire. So it's challenging.
Yeah, it's really... Yeah.
Isn't this an end too for the American Plaza?
Yeah.
So are there lights at that point then?
Yes. There'll be signals there.
Signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's signal here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's slightly different conditions, but it seems like that little portion that when you go through Lloyd Center, you know, it seems to work pretty well over there. But maybe in that case, oh, it's all runway. You only have traffic on one side. That's why it kind of...
Were there any of the east side thoughts? Or, I don't know what... This is sort of a...
Oh, yeah. You know, the funny thing, Mark, and I think that, you know, with a little bit of just going through Flickr and stuff like that, but when you're traveling in Europe and you go into all the big train stations and you're, you know, coming in on a little line and suddenly everything kind of widens out and they've got so many poles and so many light fixtures and I mean there's been some great art installation pieces that are kind of similar to that, and even I think in some train yards. And then when you were saying, you know, what could you do to that area, that was the first thing that kind of jumped to mind was, you know, maybe there's some way to put special little lights up on top of some of the poles, you know, and you have this, because obviously there's going to be a lot in this area too, and just kind of play off something like that, or, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, it's a pretty industrial, muscular site, and I think you're not going to be able to get away from that to any great degree, so you might as well play with it.
Well, not in the near, again, there's a lot of people interested in redeveloping Northwest Natural being one right here. The city owns a lot of this site here. So there is some redevelopment potential. And again, with an interest in, this is actually still in the central city over here, that this way could be included in central city in the future. So we could see a fairly dramatic transformation again of densities and building forms and use in this area. But
you're always going to have that kind of quasi-industrial feel right next to freight rail, right?
And the freight rail, is not going anywhere right now.
I'd just kind of key off that, I think, and just, you know. I mean, this is an area that I don't think that I'd worry too much about getting trees planted all over the place and making it soft and green. I'd go the other direction and say, you know, it's more metal and sculpture and, you know, lighting and stuff like that.
That's when the Peabot, I think, came in on about the inner east side industrial area and all the street improvements. But being careful, I guess our opinion was, be careful not to eliminate the character that's there in some ways and play up on that. Just like the Halpern area has its kind of distinct area that each area has, is very distinct. You've got the green area, you know, the Halperin kind of, like you said, City Beautiful, that's green. Well, we lose a little of that, but concept, then OHSU, OMSI, that kind of link, and then the heavy industrial, and then the very greens. I don't know if you set those up as zones to play up each one of those.
I think you kind of do, and yeah. Just let it be, you know, it's kind of a nice little trip to get also, all those different flavors.
Well, then, again, in that, like, this zone, again, is sort of we're moving to this employment, you know, industrial, that will transition perhaps someday to something bigger. But, yeah, I mean, so we're heading to that ETOD, that employment kind of emphasis that, again, is probably going to have a big industrial component for the foreseeable future, but may employment densities may increase over time, basically, and it could get dramatically bigger. That is going to be the driving
key. We would love that.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any other.
I would just reiterate that it comes, in, I guess, in the next phase, because this the next submittal is 30% design. Is that what it is?
We're at 30% design now. So what this is doing is helping provide some thoughts and guidance as we enter final engineering.
Right. And so the final engineering, I mean, the thing that stands out to me the most, I've already talked about it, is the Bybee station and how to really make that thing very inviting, very safe, very unlike the I-84.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge.
And I think that I think technically on the east side, that is one of the probably the most important places to kind of get your feedback. And from a jurisdiction standpoint, it's still somewhat of the nature of input and advice, but we already have this rich history of working with you, working with the neighborhoods to get that structure. So it'll be really helpful.
Now are the bus lines going to be basically collecting people and then depositing them there, and then they'll take Max Line in? Is that
at Bybee? It's not going to become a super special hub in any way. There's existing bus service on Bybee, and the station is modeled around that. But there's a pretty heavy walk and bike component. There will be. We're looking to provide some opportunities for a quick drop and pick up nearby. There's a lot of interest in that as well.
And then I guess maybe you could have the same situation you have on 82nd. And where that station crossing that road in the middle of the bridge.
The one that's...
They all just installed a big...
You can
like
go
a 60th or...
Oh, it's on the 82nd.
82nd one.
82nd Halsey, yeah. Where you got somebody who maybe wanted to catch a bus and just run across the street there.
You know, so what the real key is for us here is to keep elevators on both sides of the bridge.
Yeah.
So that people can choose from where they land to get down without having to do the run... The run thing.
Have to do that
right.
Yeah.
Is that what 84 doesn't do? It has. Just
you know,
one,
so the one I think the 84 path. Thing is really it's a really complex.
82nd.
It's got ODOT stuff in it too.
Yeah.
But we feel really strongly. I think as does TriMet to keep both of those on both sides. It seems like a kind of superfluous, heavy thing to land on both sides of what's a pretty narrow bridge structure, but the potential for people to run across and do exactly that is so high otherwise.
I mean, people being who they are, all of us, I include myself in that. We don't always, you know, first time off something may not be aware of which way we're supposed to go up and
right.
Would I go back all the way down to get over or would I go across?
Just go across, right.
I just go back to that station, though, too. I think there's some... I mean, I think this whole area should almost be kind of seen as an arboretum and a green... I mean, you got all the green grass. You got real strong connections to water, you know, on both sides of this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we have this big boulevard plowing right through it, and we have a train. But this is going to sound really kooky, but, I mean... It's like it should be that kind of little make-believe Thomas the Train world, you know, where just everything seems so bucolic and happy and leafy and green. I mean, that's what I feel like this area kind of is. And with the existing elms, and you kind of look over and you see the ducks and the geese.
Well,
I mean, it just has that kind of...
That's when you're in your car or you're on each side of that avenue.
Right, but I mean, I'm just saying, when you develop the station, yeah. you know, how can you kind of reinforce that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think extending that tree alley, you know, up Macadam and trying to stretch this station, I mean, the physical station is going to stay where it is, but mm-hmm. if you can stretch the other elements out, landscaping elements mm-hmm. like trees and kind of, I think we've got, well, we certainly have special lighting on the Bybee Bridge, you know. There's just a special quality there, and I think to reinforce that. And you look over to the, you know, well, in some cases you see the golf course, but, you know.
You can kind of get a peek of it from here.
So I'm just, I will have to say just, I'm sorry, just because I do. If people are hyperventilating about probably the idea of additional trees on McLaughlin as a result of this conversation, that ODOT has their own special plans for McLaughlin Boulevard, and they have ultimately a widening plan. And so mm-hmm. our conversations should, to the extent that they can reflect at the station area what you see in the surroundings now, without extending too much further out the alignment, because TriMet's own stamp and footprint here is going to be pretty limited in what they can do.
Understood.
That'll be helpful.
I understand that, but so let us know if ODOT's trying to cut down elm trees.
does the train blast its horn in this corridor right there?
Not like heavy rail. No. What?
Not TriMet, but the rail.
You know, there's an order and an agreement between the UP and. Honestly, so I don't know. What I think happens is there's a switching activity that happens up in the vicinity of Brooklyn Yard that creates a certain amount of train horn noise that ripples its way through the neighborhood. Ongoing existing issue that we will be happily staying out of because we just have the light rail just has a little warning bell.
I guess what I was getting at is, you know, I'm not familiar with it, but in certain aspects or certain areas of the city, blowing their horns.
Right.
I mean, in Salem too, but
right.
Are they? And they're required to.
Right. So where that comes into play for us is more specifically in the Clinton area, and the existing freight rail crossings, the way they are set up, it requires that they blow their horn. Actually, one of the huge benefits to the city as a whole with light rail coming in is the improvements happening here will enable us to go apply for Quiet Zone. Which we think, thanks to the hard work that TriMet's done, that we will be successful in obtaining that. And the safety improvements that are being put in, the gates, the medians, and all that, will allow us to obtain Quiet Zone, which means that they then moderate what they're doing. So it's really great news. That's not actually an issue here from that standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
All that battle I just went through, it relates back to the station design, and if there's an acoustic issue that needs to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
then we need to be mindful.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on Tacoma?
On that one?
Yep.
Well, I think what we said before is that, coupled with other development opportunities in the future there, the siting of the garage, I know that view corridors and views to station platforms was something that was mentioned before, but I think with Johnson Creek going through there and the opportunity for what could feel again like kind of a park-like setting with this kind of more sculptural garage that could be lit up and all that type of stuff. It just seems right now the garage is kind of
oddly
placed. Yeah.
Tim had concerns about that, the setting.
It's been a really challenging element to set with the access from McLaughlin and access for the platform and crossing the creek and continuing over as it gets to the spring water. And we could probably chat at length if you were interested on the many different rotations that this went through.
You're creating a lot of slivers of land that doesn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it'd be like, is there some way to push and pull some of these things so that you actually get a place out of this other than just like a parking garage amidst a green grass area?
As Jeff pointed out, part of a gateway and threshold, and it needs to probably aspire to a higher level, like the images you showed. Sure. Not like the Clackamas Town Center garage, which is pretty utilitarian.
This one looks like they're surrounded by detention basins. Is that?
There's a lot of stormwater treatment.
This is one, I think, right there.
And really, actually, a lot of intent to respect kind of the natural Johnson Creek area there.
The Johnson Creek environmental thing has definitely been a driver, I think, of a lot of that.
No, and I think that's a good thing. But I just, you know, it's just like it doesn't feel like yet it's being intentional about the void space that it's creating.
Yeah.
So they're kind of left over.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing about detention areas is that they're required to be so heavily planted. So you're ending up with this parking garage that's just going to be completely surrounded by plants at some point, and you're not really going to see it. So it's not really going, it's going to lose its presence, you know, over time by being surrounded on, looks like three sides at least, with detention areas.
And then do those end up with cyclone fencing
Someone
all the way
say that's
around
a good thing, right? yeah, I don't know about the cyclone fencing.
No, I don't think so.
I would hope.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. Okay, do you guys have anything else for us tonight?
That's it.
If it's possible, again, to self select a commissioner.
Yeah, who's not here.
Yeah, like Ben, who left.
Let's nominate somebody who's not here.
Sorry, that was an evil suggestion.
Yeah, if it's possible, figure it out before April 13th, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And I can help. We can help with that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
We will.
Appreciate it.
We'll have somebody there, though.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.